listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Yeah, commuting sucks, but these guys don't.
I know they're at the ballpark a long time, but why you can play Fortnite at home. It's your workplace, and I know it's a loungy environment, and guys have a lot of time to kill, but just do it at home.
That would be my stance.
Have a ping pong table, old school, whatever, but I understand. They're millennials now. It's 2019, but I don't need my guys playing Fortnite.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Ryan Dempster coming up in about 5 minutes. We'll get his take on this new rule with the Blue Jays. No more video games. We believe it's an hour before first pitch. That's what it sounds like.
It's still ridiculous that they have to put a cap on this, but that's how it's become so prevalent. I mean, I talked to a player this year in the NHL and said that it's in every room, and guys on the road now, he said, if you check out their suitcase game, it's not you're bringing suits in that. It's you're bringing suits and then a separate suitcase for your video games, which is, I mean.
I can't wrap my head around it.
I can't because I'm older. That's why. I can't wrap my head around, like, I need to bring my video games on the road. And I was told that if there wasn't extra TVs available, the guys go and buy them at a Best Buy and then just leave them in the room.
That's how much money they have.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go buy an $800 TV and I'll just leave it. We're here for one night. Yeah. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That's how much money they have. And that's how committed they are to the game of playing video games. But, you know, I've received some blowback whenever I tweet about this or whenever we bring it up on the air. And we discussed it yesterday, this new, you know, self-imposed rule for the Blue Jays where Charlie Montoyo and the players all agreed to it. And the players, I guess they had a team players-only meeting and they discussed it. And they've come up with rules and they're going to police it themselves. And they're not allowed to play video games and specifically, I guess, Fortnite an hour before first pitch or whatever it's going to be. I always get blowback from people that are big gamers. And I get the same response every time. You don't play it, so you don't understand it. You're right, I don't play it, and I don't understand the obsession when you're away from work, but I know what it means to be a professional, and I know what it means to have a responsibility when you're at work that doesn't include playing video games.
Right.
Some of the reaction to this rule would suggest that, like, Charlie Montoyo should be in The Hague, like, explaining these crimes against humanity.
But it's ridiculous.
No one's saying you can't play when you go home. When you go home, do whatever you want. Like what you just said, the players on the road, I don't care. Go ahead, fill your boots, do whatever you want. But I can't be playing Fortnite in between commercials here.
Yeah.
Like, and just like at the ballpark or at the rink or at the field of play, it's not, you know, inhumane to say, guys, go watch some tape.
Okay.
Go stretch. Go get in a cage.
Yeah.
Go field a couple of ground balls. Warm up for the game. Interact among yourselves. It's a team sport.
I agree.
Isn't anything that's even borderline outrageous.
I think
it's being treated that way because people love the game. How dare you slight the game?
I think it's completely ridiculous because if you say, these people are telling you, right? Well, you never played, you don't understand. You know how many times if I ever said, well, you didn't play hockey, so you don't understand. You didn't play in the NHL, so you don't understand. I don't say that because I believe that everyone deserves their opinion. Everyone deserves their take on it. My take on it, I think it's ridiculous. I've never been that involved in a video game that it's directed my life. Yeah, I'm older, so I don't understand it completely. But it doesn't mean I don't respect it. But I do respect that there should be a certain amount of time that allows you to become a professional. So 1 hour before a game, I know for a fact that guys, it's in the dress room, it's against the rules, and there are some unwritten rules to not have your cell phone in your stall, to not have certain things. This just has to be another one because it's a part of these young players' lives.
Exactly.
So, okay, let's cut it off an hour before the game. No problem. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. The only time it's a big of a deal is if they've got an obsession problem that they can't park it. You can't park your obsession to actually go out and do your job.
Well, and this is where, you know, baseball is so different than the other big four sports.
Correct.
Because guys are playing video games during the game back in the clubhouse. You know, like that just doesn't happen. If you're on the bench, you're on the bench. You know, if you're If you're on the court, you're even if you're not in a game, you're not sitting
you're
there saying,
involved.
Hey, I'm going to the back to play.
Right.
But, you know, in September in particular, when the rosters expand, there's a lot of guys who know they're not getting into the game, and they're sitting in the back playing video games.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds as if Russell Martin was doing that. Russell Martin, who's been in the league for 15 years, was sitting there knowing he wasn't going to play, and he's like, I'm not going to sit on the bench. I'm sitting in the back doing my thing.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, from a professional standpoint, and trying to create some sort of a culture that allows for inclusivity and a bond and a, hey, you know, we're all in this together. We're all going to support whether we're playing or we're not playing. Video games just aren't going to cut it. And I think cell phones are probably right there as well.
Right.
You know, it's not far off where you're going to see it, I think, across the board in every sport. You can't even bring the phone into the ring, into the rink or into the building. You know, you got to either you keep it outside of the locker room or the clubhouse or whatever. Keep it in the car. Keep it at home because you're a professional.
Yeah.
You know, no one's saying you can't use it when you're away from the field of play.
Right.
But when you're actually at the park.
Yeah.
You're getting paid millions of dollars. Put the video game down.
But obviously something's it's gotten so bad that people have had to step in and say, okay, we're going to create some rules around it.
Absolutely. Here's a longtime MLBer and current MLB network analyst, Ryan Dempster, back on Overdrive. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm great. How you doing?
We're doing really well. Thanks. We're just talking about this rule up in Toronto, and I'm sure it's going to be a league-wide mandate where Blue Jays are not allowed to play video games, you know, like an hour before first pitch and Fortnite in particular. Did you have at any point in your career, did you guys have to impose some rules because some players were either playing video games or on their phones or doing something in the clubhouse that didn't have basically their heads in the game, so to speak?
It was kind of that transition period. Towards the end of my career, the video games started to become a thing, and, you know, guys were pretty good about managing it, but just like anything, the more you start to do it, then you start to push the limits of, you know, how far you want to take that, and is it okay to be playing games right up to the minute? No, probably not. I don't think it's a malicious thing. I think guys just lose track or lose sight of why you're there. And, you know, I listened to a little bit what you're saying, and I think it is important. You are there doing a job, and let's try and put that stuff away. The less distractions we have, the better we can perform as athletes. So let's try and put our best performance on the field and be ready to go.
How did, like, the cell phone industry change the baseball world in terms of the clubhouse and the camaraderie and all that?
Yeah, well, you know, what happens, right, is like you go up to get a coffee from your locker or from the clubhouse and you go grab a coffee and you're like, let me check a text message. Next thing you know, you're in a text conversation and you're missing a half an inning. And have I ever done it? Yeah, I can admit I was guilty of it before. You know, I'm not starting a game. Go up to get something and, you know, you return a text message to your wife or your dad or whatever it is. But really, truly, that's not the time. And, you know, it wasn't something I made a habit of, but it's something that, you know, I think a lot of guys, especially when they're not playing, are guilty of. And, you know, there has to be some sort of balance. And, you know, like, for example, the phone gives you anxiety. Like, all of a sudden, you're out playing third base, like, oh man, I forgot to text my wife back about this. Well, you're thinking about the wrong things, and then you start snowballing. Well, I should probably do that, when the reality is, the way it used to be, if there was an emergency, they called the clubhouse and they said, hey, we need you. So other than that, you don't need your phone, you don't need your device, you don't need your iPad, and you don't need video games. And take that break for that time to go out there and be a good teammate, be on the bench for your guys, and if you're playing in the game, you sure don't need that distraction leading into the game. So they're figuring out the right way to handle it all and make sure that guys are ready for games, ready to go.
With Ryan Dempster, the big news in baseball today, Mike Trout on the verge of signing a 12-year, $430 million deal to stay in L.A. with the Angels. If you're a longtime teammate of Mike Trout, what kind of gift are you expecting?
Mike's always pretty good about picking up the dinner tab anyway, so... and let's face it, most guys on his team are making a pretty good chunk of change as well. So, but no, you know, good for him. I'm super happy for Mike. He's my favorite player in the game for multiple reasons. It's not even his performance on the field. It's the way he plays the game. He runs just as hard out of the box if he pops up to the third baseman as he does if he hits the ball in the gap. He goes about his business the right way. He's a role model to the young kids that come to the ballpark, the ones that are watching him on TV. He's always making time for autographs and taking a picture, and he really puts playing the game of baseball as the first and foremost thing he wants to do, and anything else is secondary. And an incredible day for him and his family, and once it's all finalized, an incredible day for the Angels as well, and kind of the statement that he said going forward and what he wants to do there.
Ryan, we were talking about in the last hour about how unassuming he is, though. I mean, I played in the NHL, and I played against stars that were, superstar players, but they just went about their business. They weren't very quiet. They weren't boisterous personalities, but they just did their job. Is that how you would equate a guy like Mike Trout? Because I think we all know he's an amazing player, but we don't know much about the personality. He's just very unassuming.
Yeah, no, he is. And, you know, the thing about Mike is he keeps things simple in life. Mike likes to hunt. He likes to play golf. He likes to lift weights. He likes to play baseball. He loves his Philadelphia Eagles, and he loves his family. And, you know, the family first, that's his most important thing. And he keeps it really simple to that. It's not about the big commercial he can do or the endorsements the money he can make doing those kind of things. It's about the product on the field, and that's what's most important to him. And he really keeps it simple that way. He doesn't need to go to every, you know, celebrity outing or this charity event or this, you know, big awards dinner. He tries to just really keep it unassuming. And he feels like performing on the field is the most important thing, and everything else is, you know, is what it is. And so, you know, for him, a contract like this, he doesn't want to feel like he's abandoning his teammates in Anaheim or, you know, the fans of Anaheim. He wants to bring a world championship to the Angels and to do something he hasn't accomplished. He's won MVPs, finished second and runner-up multiple. He's done all these personal things. But I know this. I know what it means to him to bring a winning atmosphere and playoff-type atmosphere to Anaheim and a championship back to Artie Moreno and to the Angels. So I think that's part of what's driven him with this contract. Listen, he got paid. Money, but that was never in question. He was going to get that no matter what happened. So this was more about what he could do to continue his legacy, to play somewhere for a long period of time, his entire career, like Derek Jeter, like Cal Ripken Jr. And I think it's just so tremendous what he as to what they're all about there and what he wants to bring back there.
Well, and that's where, you know, I gotta give him credit for having that type of faith. Because the ownership has always spent money. You know, they have spent a lot of money. The Pujols deal, the Josh Hamilton deal, they went out there and got Ohtani. But he's been there. Mike Trout has been there for 8 years. He's been in the playoffs once. And the one time they got in, they got swept. Like, this is a big commitment. 12 years, basically the rest of your career. And, you know, it's a classic, hey, I pulled my weight scenario. Mike Trout pulls his weight every single time he's on the field. But why should Mike Trout or anybody believe that the Angels are going to figure this out and actually compete for a World Series?
Well, in baseball, you're very quick. Artie Moreno has proven, like you just said, that he's willing to spend money. That Josh Hamilton deal is no longer on the books. That C.J. Wilson deal is no longer on the books. And in short order of time, the Albert Pujols deal won't be on the books. And it can change really quickly there. You can put together a winning ball club right away. They made a lot of one-year deals on pitchers that could end up paying off, and if they don't get to where they want, they could trade those guys away and get pieces to build towards the immediate future and their long-term future. But for Mike Trout, you got to understand something. It means something to him. You know, we're in a world where guys quickly leave for the biggest buck somewhere, and Mike Trout got the biggest buck. I get that. Or the biggest stage. Or, hey, you can go to the Yankees or Red Sox or Astros or Cubs or whatever, and you can go to the playoffs. Mike wants to go to the playoffs for the Angels. He wants to see something through and finish something that he started there. And I think, to me, I hold that in such high regard, because it's always easy to say, oh, I'll go somewhere else and win something. Why not do it right where you're at and figure out a way to be a part of that all at the end? Wouldn't that be so much more gratifying to see your team come back from somewhere where you've only been to the playoffs for three games in your career to all of a sudden get to a point where you're at a team that's competing every year for a championship, and I think that's really what he wants to do, and I think that's why you see him not worry about free agency and not even come close to it and just say, I want to be here for my entire career. The name on the front of this jersey means more to me than the name on the back, and I want to represent that and be a leader on and off the field. He does that as good as anybody in baseball without even trying. He just goes out there, and he's just himself, and that proves to be good enough day in, day out.
Oh, that's a great point. We always appreciate the insight and the time. Thank you for doing it, Ryan. We'll do it again down the road.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great night.
There's Ryan Dempster, longtime pitcher, World Series champ, MLB Network analyst, one of the great Canadian baseball players of all time. And listen, he's right. That should be celebrated. In the world we live in,
right,
of LeBron and Durant and, you know, everybody, yeah. John Tavares, you know, there's a lot of them, a lot of examples of guys who are like, get me out or move me out or I'm going to the spotlight or I want to win a title today.
Right.
And
going
Mike
to the
Trout.
Big city, going here. Yeah.
Mike Trout has gone. He's saying, I'm not leaving. You know, this is where I want to be. This is where I'm going to be. Listen, I got a lot of time and appreciation for Mike Trout in a bubble. I don't think it's good for baseball, the fact that he didn't at least tease the idea that he might leave.
Yeah.
Because I would guess if I'm Rob Manfred, the commissioner, or in charge of the marketing of the sport, I would be pleading with him. Pleading. Just hold off a year. Give us a year where ESPN can debate whether or not you're going to go to the Yankees.
Or, yeah, or the rumor Phillies. Mill. Or,
just give us a year of that. And then resign. And then take the exact same contract and resign. Well, no one can force you to leave the Angels. No. You know, it's a great day if you're an Angels fan or you live in L.A. or if you're Mike Trout. But give me 1 year of speculation, the decision.
Yeah.
And then take your talents right back to Anaheim.
He didn't want it.
I hear
he
you.
He just was like, that's it. I'm good.
This, let me put this into perspective because we got to drag the Tampa Bay Rays. Because when in doubt, drag them through the mud. Jason Stark tweeted this out this afternoon. Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, and Nolan Arenado signed deals this offseason, over the past month. The collective worth of those four deals, $1.32 billion. The Tampa Bay Rays have been in existence for 21 seasons. Their total payroll in franchise history is $1.01 billion. Less wow. money.
For 21 years?
21 years. 21 wow. years they've been around. Their collective payroll is less than the money that was just handed out to Trout, Harper, Machado, and Arenado. Four guys are going to make more money than 21 years of existence.
It's impressive.
In Tampa. Well, that's the glass half full if you're the players. It's a joke if you're a fan of the Rays.
Well, the Rays don't have a ton of fans.
No, they don't.
I mean, it's usually
but
a quiet
mix in $1.5 billion.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't be below it.
You're below four players worth of contracts in a month.
Wow.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, will join us. His take on what Nazem Kadri had to say today about the Leafs in action tonight in Nashville and back into Serge Ibaka and Kawhi Leonard in the kitchen, teasing where Kawhi's going to go next year. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. It is a Maple Leaf game night tonight. They're in Nashville. You can watch it on TSN4. Always a good test. Always a tough building. They get loud down there, even on a Tuesday night.
That was my worst building, bar none. Like, play garbage there every single game.
That's because you didn't go with bar none.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
what
go
was
out?
What happened the night before?
Bar one.
No, never. I didn't go out the night before games.
Wasn't legends.
Only eliminated from the playoffs.
Okay, what? Sorry, take that back.
You get, for eliminated from the playoffs, you go on the road, you go out for a couple drinks, like you go out and have some fun, but nothing stupid. Other than that, never.
All right. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider in studio. Is that disappointing to you, Bob?
Very.
Did you hear that?
Very. You know what? He's a machine, so.
I went out.
Even if you were in the playoffs.
Yeah, if we were in the playoffs. But it doesn't mean you had to be stumbling drunk or anything, but you go out.
Yeah.
As our buddy Strutty always would say, let's go out and take a peek. That's what he would say. Guys, let's just go out and take a peek. Like, he'd call me. His nickname's the Night Train. And, like, it'd be a Monday, middle of the summer. He'd call me. We'd have a good day of working out, everything. And then he would call me and be like, let's go out. I'm like, I'm not going out. Let's go out and take a peek.
Two things jump to mind. Number one, that means you weren't really a bag checker then.
No, I wasn't.
No.
No.
Okay.
After a win on the road, though, and we're staying over, that's when I had some fun. Night before a game, never.
Right. And not to stereotype or tell tales out of school, but when you've got a Finnish goaltending partner,
yes,
it might lend itself to going out.
I had a Finnish goaltender. I had a Czech Republic goaltender in Roman Turek, who enjoyed himself. Louis was very, very... Roberto Luongo was so professional. Ron Hextall, I had some great partners. Ron Hextall was a true pro, taught me how to be a pro on and off the ice. But, I mean, Fierzy was a... Grant Fier was a beauty, but he never... I got Fierzy at the end of his career. Like, if I got stories out of Grant of what they did with the Oilers in the 80s, which were brilliant stories, but...
Well, they knew they were going to win. Like, it didn't matter what they did.
I know, but he would tell stories. Pronger and I sat at the back of the plane when we played in St. Louis, and Grant sat behind us. And if it was a long trip and there were maybe some beers flowing or something, you could get some like, vintage stories out of Grant, ones that have never been told. And those were the most amazing ones because you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. Because that group was very tight. And we joke around the boys in the bus and how Edmonton, they're still around and all of that. But, like, thinking of that team and how successful they were, it was crazy. Because you're right, they knew they were just going to win. They were that good. But Grant wasn't a guy that would go out on the road. But having my Finnish partner, Mika Kiprasov, he enjoyed himself quite a bit. And Roman Turek was... another special.
What
one.
Was the alcohol consumption like on the planes? Like, could you go Wade Boggs and...
No, but you know, oh, what you guys had on the bus, like after a game, you'd slide the trainer in the other room.
Yeah, I had to every game, $100.
Yeah, like we would have a protocol you give the guy.
I was like, how, you guys all drink this beer, but I have to pay for it?
Well, you were probably the sacrificial lamb. Like, we'll just...
No, I just wanted it the most.
The other guys were like, I'll have one if they're here. I don't need it.
Yeah. See, we always had a protocol. A lot of times I may have been in charge of that because, you know, the backup, I'm not playing, so okay. Make sure that...
It was the common denominator here. The two guys that were in charge getting the beverages right. When the game was over.
Yeah.
Oh, the worst was in Vancouver. We got crushed 7-1. And I'm like, I got to get on that bus and just have a beer. Long flight. No beer on the bus. I'm like, I'm crapping my pants because I like to have a beer, chill out before the plane. Starts it up and we're leaving. I'm like, that guy, I gave him $100. He didn't bring any beer. Pull out 2 feet, bangs on the door. Paul Maurice is so mad that we just got crushed. He's like, oh, I got your beers here. And it's just clinking through the hallway and just walks to the back and sets them down. I'm like, you idiot. You should not have come on the bus with these beers now.
But I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the quietest opening of a beer.
I'm in trouble anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm having 2 beers.
No, the best part. Yeah, you always, that guy had to sneak it on the bus. Like, yeah. Way before. They
but it had to be done way before. Nobody needed to see it.
And then the guys at the back would distribute them to the front because that's where the coaches were. And all of a sudden you'd hear, yeah, it was twist off caps. But if it was just cans, you would hear the, you know, and those had to be. Sometimes if the coach was pissed, you could hear a few of them like click and he would look over his shoulder. They knew. They weren't. Oh, we're adults. Right. It's not a big deal.
You're all adults.
And we weren't flying the plane or driving the bus. So it's legal. And, you know, it's not like it was flowing. That's the one thing. People think, oh, you know, you're drunk the whole time. No, it's have a beer, have a glass of wine. I knew a guy who had a glass of wine. Relax, talk about the game. And guys play cards. Nowadays, we're just talked about it. Guys playing Fortnite. I can't imagine. I don't think you could have that set up on a plane because you need internet.
Well, you can get correct? Wi-Fi on the internet or on an airplane, though, now.
But I don't know if you can get the high-speed Wi-Fi that would handle a gaming situation because I know, Bob, you fly a lot, and I fly a lot. Like, recently I was on a flight, I think it was from the Vegas flight, that offered Netflix, like, high Wi-Fi, wow. High-speed Wi-Fi that you could stream on it. So I wonder if some of these planes have the capability.
It's probably about money. These guys would pay.
Yeah.
Like Patrick Laine would pay $100,000 cash so he could put his headset on and play Fortnite.
Exactly.
Bob McKenzie in studio. How often do GMs talk to you kind of off the record complaining about their players and lifestyle stuff.
I haven't had anybody. I'm, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's got their, you know, the vices just change
over the years,
as we talked about here.
Well, that's right. And somebody sent us a note, but I like, is Fortnite beers? Like, I don't like I. We never drank beer leading up to the game, and I, like, we're to the point where it's like, okay, you gotta stop drinking beer because we gotta play. These guys are playing it right up to a point where, you know, they've had to step in baseball and say 1 hour before the game, none of these guys. And I could see maybe devices would be
hockey. Baseball is a different sport too because the clubhouse is more like a clubhouse.
Yeah, it's you a know, country guys, club.
Yeah, it's different from my limited experience in baseball.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if in the NHL, though, they had some teams had rules where you couldn't bring your cell phone in.
Right.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
I think probably into the dressing room, that's what but I mean. Not in the lounge and that.
Well, yeah, you know, you get changed out in the lounge or whatever. But, like, the OHL Cup was going down last night, and I don't know, did you go to that, Bob? Or
no, I watched it on TV. I went, I saw the OHL Cup. I went last week.
Right.
And saw a few games. So, but, and I've watched some of the minor midget hockey over the course of the year anyways. But, yeah, I watched the final game and, you know, Don Mills Flyers come through again.
They had a great year. Well, the reason I bring that up is we were talking about the idea of, you know, kids showing up at games with cell phones, which, you know, at that age, they all have them.
Yeah, getting 16. Messages from parents after a period.
I had never thought of that. But, like, once you hit minor midget, they flood after every period. And I guess, you know, this one coach, a guy who follows us on Twitter, said out in BC was a big problem. The kids would go back into the dressing room and they'd be waiting for their parents to send them a text saying, hey, stop doing this or smart
coaching
up.
Coaching them
with the cell phones.
Yeah, that's brutal. You should just yell from the stands.
That's the old school way.
Like, move your feet. My kid knew who was yelling.
Yeah, you're yelling.
Come on, Blue, move your feet. Yeah, Blue. My boy, Blue.
That's your boy, Blue.
That's funny.
Every parent had the one catchphrase. Wake up, move your feet, whatever it was.
Although it was frequently discipline. Calm down.
Of course, Mike.
Actually, both of them. Never mind. They both take after their mother.
Yep. Just take it easy out there. It's just a game. Nazem Kadri was very philosophical today, actually.
Yes.
I think he was spot on. Do we have that clip, Mullen? This is what Nazem Kadri said. He was a grizzled vet in Toronto, and he's been through a lot. Because there's a lot of panic in the city, as I'm sure you're picking up on. Last week was a brutal week. And here's what Kadri said today.
Oh, this is nothing. You know, I think, like I said, I've been around for much darker days, and, you know, we're lucky to have the group that we have and the players that we have, and, you know, we all stick together no matter what, and I think that's a key component to being a successful team.
He's not wrong there. Like, it was a bad week last week.
He's 100% right.
5 years ago, it was a lot darker.
Listen, you got to understand, though, and I get where the level of panic comes from, even though it's probably not entirely well-founded. It's because, A, there's, you know, it's been a long time since the Leafs were really good. B, people had trepidation about the team, as good as it is, and it has been very good this season. I mean, they're the top five team in the league, or they have been. There's trepidation because a lot of people don't think they're constructed right, that the defense isn't good enough, and that, you know, the bugaboo is going to be Boston, and they're going to meet Boston again, and they can't get over the Boston hump. So everybody's predisposed to be already losing their mind before any of this happens. And then the one element of your game that's been lights out good the whole year that you rely on inordinately, the goaltending, goes south in the past week, both starter and backup. And everybody's like, oh. And I've never seen so much angst over the absence of two defensemen. Two defensemen.
Who aren't perfect or Norris candidates.
Like, let's remind everybody, a lot of these fans didn't like Jake Gardiner when he was here. And I like Travis Dermott, but he was playing third line minutes. And I understand if you're going to say to me, well, we don't like the way the defense was constructed in the first place. Fair enough. But if you're Mike Babcock, you've got Morgan Rielly, who you count on as your number one guy. Whether anyone likes it or not, he's playing Ron Hainsey ahead of just about anybody, and he's here and healthy. And you've got Zaitsev, who, again, whether you like him or not, Babcock likes him. no matter who you brought in at the deadline, they're probably not playing ahead of Hainsey and Zaitsev. So now you've got three of your top 4D are in the lineup, and now add Muzzin into the mix, and whatever you think of the way that he's played coming in, he's a top four defenseman, as Mike Babcock would say, every day of the week on any team in the National Hockey League. So the Leafs have four top four defensemen.
So when you break it down, so what you'd be looking for is two guys to fill in for those third defenseman minutes. It shouldn't be a...
Right. Now, here's part of the problem. So you don't like Marinchin and Hall. I understand that. I mean, the Hall results might be predictable because you put him on the shelf for so long. I don't know how he's supposed to come out and... You want me to tie it or win it for you?
No kidding. Yeah.
After not playing all year. But quite aside from that, under normal circumstances, they would have brought up Callie Rosen. But they found out at 5 o'clock on deadline day, 5 o'clock, 2 hours afterwards, that Rosen's sore foot was a fracture. And he hasn't played since. He's getting closer. But he's a guy. He's going to be on the team next year. He's going to be an NHL defenseman. If they had him, then, you know, take Marinčin out, put Rosen in, and things are probably better than they are right now. But the John Tavares line tonight is intact. The Austin Matthews line tonight, with Kapanen back now, is intact. The Kadri line is fully intact. And outside of Freddie in the fourth line, they're intact. I mean, the Boston Bruins had Patrice Bergeron, Zdeno Chara, Torrey Krug, Charlie McAvoy, David Pastrnak, the goaltender, Tuukka Rask on personal leave. These guys were out weeks at a time. Weeks. Yeah. And at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And
they kept chugging.
And the Bruins just, you know what? You know, they weren't great in December, but they didn't have Bergeron. They just got her done. And there was no talk about, you know, like Connor Clifton's playing in the top six of the Boston Bruins. You know, the Leafs need Connor Clifton? I mean, the John Moore, Brandon Carlo, Connor Clifton, and I forget the other bottom end of the lineup guy. I mean, it's nothing. Like, what the Leafs have experienced in terms of hardship, both in terms of the quantity of it, in terms of how long it's lasted, and the quality of the players they're missing, it's just, I mean...
No, it's 1 week. It's one, and you know what? Ray had that similar perspective in the previous hour. He said, you know, he's down in Nashville calling a game. And he said, the past 2 or 3 months, they haven't been great.
Right.
And he was in Winnipeg last week, and he's like, Winnipeg, they don't feel great about themselves. San Jose can't get a stop. So all these, there's some really good teams outside of Tampa and Vegas right now. Vegas is on a heater. All these other teams are they're not 100% confident in what they have either.
Stephen Kampfer was the other defenseman that's playing for the Bruins right now.
I don't think anybody in the West is too jacked up about Vegas in the first round.
I wouldn't be.
I would not be.
I would not. But to
your point, Brian, I understand why there's a little bit of angst, or a lot of angst, I guess, because it's the Leafs. They haven't gotten out of the first round in a long time. They're a young team. People didn't like the construction of some of the things at the best of times. I get all that. But in terms of great amounts of adversity and hardship, give me a break.
Well, I think, though, on the flip side of that, that kind of scares some people even more, because the limited adversity is causing them so many problems. Wait until they actually run into adversity.
But see, this shouldn't be adversity for the players, and it certainly shouldn't be adversity for the coaching staff. Because as I said, if I was going to say, if you're going to give Mike Babcock and his staff adversity, take Austin Matthews and Morgan Riley out of the lineup for a month.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay?
Let's see what you got.
Take them out for a month, because that's what happened to the Boston Bruins. Because Bergeron and Chara were out at the same time for a month or thereabouts.
Mike Babcock's demeanor is pretty consistent publicly. Behind the scenes, is he a guy that you get the impression will kick a garbage can? Or throw a stick, or like, I don't sense that.
I don't know that he. I don't know that he does, you know, Three Stooges physical comedy or whatever. I think he's more direct to the point, probably biting hard in your face. I would think that'd be my guess. And that's when things are going well.
Well, exactly right. But he's got to have, like, every coach has something that they go to the bullpen for some reaction. You know, like we've been discussing it throughout the afternoon. If they start slow tonight or get smoked, if this is Bruce Boudreau, he's going crazy post game, If it's Tortorella, he's
smashing his sticks with a TV in the locker
room. Yeah, going nuts. So. Plus, Babcock, you know, doesn't do that.
Plus, that stuff doesn't work anymore. These kids are like, yeah, okay.
Well, I get that impression out of them.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Like, they keep saying, though, and I believe them. They're like, we're confident. We're good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they really are freaking out.
You know, they'll try and work through it, and we'll see if they do. But that's what, you know, that's what tests are all about. That's how you get better.
I told Brian earlier there's probably a lot of ego involved with Babcock, too, where he's like, I tell them to dig in. I tell them what to do, and they just don't want to do it. It's a tough league.
But that's where the coach has to dig in, too. It's not just the players.
No, I know. I agree.
You know?
Yeah. Well, Ray said that. Like, he can get the deflector up pretty well. Like, man, we don't have the right depth. I guess we need better players. Yeah. What? You got a top five team in the league.
Yeah. Next year, we got to try to get better players.
Yeah. No.
Although, and again, I'm not going to suggest that wasn't what Babcock meant when he said, but if you read the exact quote word for word, I wonder if part of it was that the players who fill in, you know, they've got to get the job done, or the guys that aren't injured. So, as I said, nothing wrong with John Tavares. Nothing wrong with Mitch Marner.
No, they're all playing.
Nothing wrong with Austin Matthews, William Nylander.
They were in Ottawa on Saturday night.
Yeah, they were all there.
They were all there.
And I got news for you. I mean, you can talk about the depth players and everything else. They'd be getting crushed in the first 2 or 3 minutes of the game. The depth players don't get on until the fourth shift of the game. By that time, a lot of times they're behind, and that's in part because of the goaltending. And that's been an anomaly here. So
right.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it'll be a good test tonight. The Leafs in Nashville. You can watch it on TSN4. James Duffy, the O-Dogs back on the panel. Bob, is it Poulian tonight, I guess? Yep. You guys doing a quiz tonight or what?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
The whole nine. Great. All right, Bob. Well, we'll see you tonight on the panel.
Sounds good. I got my Ed McSteak sandwich. I'm ready to go.
And you're around noodles,
actually,
just in case.
Actually, steak wrap, actually. I didn't go for the heavy bread.
The big bun.
Did you learn your lesson from the O-Dog?
I used to go with no bun, no wrap, just a steak. Now I mixed in a wrap tonight.
I feel it's like
steak is a little lovely. Fatty, though. I think there's a little fat.
I can work on that. I can chew through that.
You'll gnaw away if you have to. Noodles, like, your reputation around here, though.
What?
Well, you have to save everyone's life. Anyone has any problem, an allergic reaction, you have to have an EpiPen.
I'm not schooled in that. I happen to be at the right place at the right time. But as I contend, there was probably 10 people in that room that could have done what I did. It just, I happened to be the next guy up.
Mm-hmm.
He turned to me.
No.
That's what happened.
Now that you're back, are you working on the CPR and the whole... You getting certified?
Yes. Because I don't ever want to be in a position where I don't know what the hell to do. If somebody looks at me and their face is purple and they've got a steak sandwich lodged in their throat, I'd just be like, adios.
Check, please.
Yeah. Or I would have done what Pooley did and punched him in the back as hard as he could.
The death shot.
The death shot.
Pooley with the old school. He just left-hand punch right to the back.
Philadelphia Flyers.
The Broad Street bully beside you.
The solution to everything is to punch somebody.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That was the Broad just Street like bully.
I got bad news for you. Actually, good news for you, rather. Much really good news. If Noodles hadn't been in that night, you might well have been dead right now.
Oh, I know. You would have been like, somebody fix this guy. I know you don't know how to do the Heimlich.
No,
I know.
No.
And you wouldn't have been able to lift me up, and it would have been a side. I would have been dead.
I would have been preparing for the show.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. He's a professional. What do you expect out of him? A Heimlich?
Did Duffy even look up?
He barely.
I don't remember. I was so rattled I had to go home.
I remember seeing some faces. I turned around and everyone was kind of just paying attention, like, okay, what's going on here? Yeah. Pooley was right there, though. Pooley was very attentive. And I think Duthie was concerned at one point.
Concerned.
Concerned.
He was slightly concerned. It was on his radar.
Yeah.
It was showing up on his radar.
Very poised.
Right. Yeah, and then it took a period and a half where him and Puff were joking about me croaking on the panel. Ted Lindsay, R.I.P., O-Dog, R.I.P.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the same day as Ted Lindsay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't have hardly got a mention at all.
No,
yeah,
no.
Barely.
This would have been carted out and that'd be a bad day to go.
Yeah, no kidding. Overshadowed by Ted Lindsay.
Yeah.
All right, Bob.
Thanks, boys.
Here's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. Some more Serge Ibaka audio. The response from Kawhi. We'll let you hear that, and we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Two games in the NBA point spread. I'm on Philly at Charlotte tonight, and the Clippers, I think, win big over Indiana. Throw down 20, you can score 40. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So the Raptors are in action tomorrow in Oklahoma City. And Kyle Lowry actually has not been ruled out. He is being listed as questionable. I can't imagine he plays. I don't think there's a chance he would play tomorrow.
I'd rest him.
Why would you force feed
him into the lineup?
No chance. I wouldn't play him if he was at 99%.
Yeah.
Let alone 80%.
Agreed.
You know where you are, you know where you're going, you're finishing second, nothing's going to change. And Kyle, you know, he's a grizzled vet to begin with. He's got a lot of pressure on him come playoff time. He's got to perform.
Yeah.
And if he's not at 100%, you can't have that built-in excuse.
Agreed.
But, you know, he's a tough guy. He wants to play. I'll grant him credit for that. But they probably dodged a bullet last night.
Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Playoffs looming. Top 10 Toronto sports people under pressure.
It's a great idea.
Combination of Raps,
Leafs. Yeah, the pressure. Pressure-packed Wednesday on Overdrive.
Yeah.
You want to hear some of these Serge Ibaka clips that we've inserted? Because we've been playing the clip of Serge, his cooking show, and he was asking Kawhi, you know, what's up? Are you coming back? And a lot of people are texting in and tweeting in saying, don't be idiots. He's asking him if he's ever going to come back on the show again. For starters, how do you know that? And secondly, who cares? I hope he's asking him outright.
Exactly.
Are you going to return to the Raptors? Serge Ibaka is under contract next year. So we've got, how many of these do we have? A fair amount? All right. Roll it.
Bro, are you coming back next year?
That's not bad.
That's a good one.
Next one.
Bro, are you coming back next year?
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
Yeah, he really has.
Roark.
Tanner Roark.
Just sounds like the worst player.
All right.
Bro, are you coming back next year?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Shapa.
I like that one.
Bro, are you coming back next year?
No.
How greased do you have to be?
What the hell was that?
Do you not have a handler to say, hang on a second? Yeah. You're getting in a car, man. You're not going in front of a... I love seeing people at sporting events and they're crushed and their handlers let them get in front of a camera.
Yeah. And they all have handlers.
Yeah.
Like Diego Maradona, one of the most famous athletes in the world.
Yeah, like he's got a handler.
For sure.
Who knows how crushed he is.
Yeah.
No interview tonight.
Yeah. Montana doesn't get the microphone either if he has a handler.
No chance. No chance. Or you're talking about Namath.
Oh, sorry. Not Montana.
Don't mix Joe Namath with Joe Montana.
Sorry about that.
Because, you know, Susie Colbert would be able to recognize.
Yeah.
Any more? Go ahead.
Bro, are you coming back next year?
Andy Ruff.
Bro, are you coming back next year?
Hello.
Bruce.
We should have done this at 4 p.m.
Are you coming back next year?
Never know. That one's the best.
I think we got to revisit this tomorrow.
For sure.
We should just play. Is that it? Those were all very well done. They're all our favorite clips, essentially.
Yeah.
Maybe mix in a Love It Thanks.
We're going to do all of that tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.